The epistle for this Septuagesima Sunday is taken from St. Paul to the Corinthians.
Brethren, do you know that those who run in a race all indeed run, but one receives the prize? So run as to obtain it. And everyone in a contest abstains from all things, and they indeed to receive a perishable crown, but we an imperishable. I therefore so run as not without a purpose. I so fight as not beating the air, but I chastise my body and bring it into subjection, lest perhaps, after preaching to others, I myself should be rejected. For I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that our fathers were all under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, and all were baptized in Moses in the cloud and in the sea. And all ate the same spiritual food, and all drank the same spiritual drink. For they drank from the spiritual rock, which followed them, and the rock was Christ. Yet with most of them, God was not well pleased.
Please stand for the Holy Gospel, which is that of the Apostle St. Matthew.
At that time, Jesus spoke to his disciples this parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a householder who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. And having agreed with the laborers for a denarius a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And about the third hour, he went out and saw others standing in the marketplace idle. And he said to them, "Go you also into my vineyard, and I will give you whatever is just." So they went. And again he went out about the sixth and about the ninth hour, and did as before. But about the 11th hour, he went out and found others standing about, and he said to them, "Why do you stand here all day idle?" They said to him, "Because no man has hired us." He said to them, "Go you also into my vineyard." But when evening had come, the owner of the vineyard said to his steward, "Call the laborers and pay them their wages, beginning from the last even to the first." Now when day of the 11th hour came, they received each a denarius. And when the first in their turn came, they thought that they would receive more. But they also received each one a denarius. And on receiving it, they began to murmur against the householder, saying, "These last have worked a single hour, and thou hast put them on a level with us, who have borne the burden of the day's heat." But answering one of them, he said, "Friend, I do thee no injustice. Didst thou not agree with me for a denarius? Take what is thine and go. I choose to give to this last even as to thee. Have I not a right to do what I choose? Or art thou envious because I am generous? Even so the last shall be first, and the first last. For many are called, but few are chosen."
Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. Please be seated. And having agreed with the laborers for a denarius a day, he sent them into his vineyard. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. And today we start a new time during the year, which is called Septuagesima.
And this is a time when our Holy Mother, the Church, bids all of us, faithful Christians, to consider and prepare our hearts and souls for the holy season of Lent. The three preceding Sundays, before the first Sunday of Lent, are days of preparation and transition.
The number 7, from which this word, Septuagesima, comes, has a special meaning for us to consider.
So the liturgies comment upon this, that the number 7 is the basis for all of these mysteries, the origin of this time that we live in, the liturgical time, as well as of this time of the year has its origins in sacred scripture, in the number 7, the number 70. So Dom Granger, Benedictine, who on his book on the liturgical year makes us consider the scriptural foundation of this time that we commence. Sacred Scripture speaks of two places, Babylon and Jerusalem. Babylon is the image of this world of sin, in the midst whereof the Christian has to spend his years of probation. And Jerusalem is the heavenly country, where he is to repose after all of his trials. And the people of Israel, whose whole history is but one great type of the human race, was banished from Jerusalem and kept in bondage in Babylon. Now this captivity, which kept the Israelites of exiles from Zion, lasted 70 years. And this is to express this mystery. All the great liturgies tells us that the church fixed the number of 70 for the days of expiation. The duration of the world is of the world itself, according to the ancient Christian tradition, is divided also into seven ages. The human race must pass through seven ages before the dawning of the day of eternal life. In the first age, including the time from the creation of Adam to Noah, from Noah to and the renovation of the earth by the deluge, and ends with the vocation of Abraham, the first formation of God's chosen people, and continues as far as Moses, through whom God gave the law. Then the period between Moses and David, in whom the house of Judah received the kingly power. And then the fifth is form of the years which passed between David's reign and the captivity of Babylon, inclusively. And then the sixth dates from the return of the Jews to Jerusalem and takes us on as far as the birth of our Savior. And finally, the seventh age that starts with the rising of our merciful Redeemer, the Son of Justice, and this will continue when he will come to judge the living and the dead. These are then the seven great divisions of time, after which comes eternity. Therefore then we have this meaning, the symbolism of these 70 days, these three preceding Sundays before the time of Lent, 40 days before Easter. So in order to console us in the midst of the combats of this fight for salvation that St. Paul talks about today, after the Septuagesima of mourning, we shall have the bright Easter with its 7 weeks of gladness, foreshadowing the happiness and bliss of heaven. So then the church today in the Gospel, if we go to the scripture readings, teaches us about the importance of our eternal salvation. If we read the parable today, that's the central theme. And what is that denarius, which is a piece of money? It's a coin, the denarius. Some translators interpret that as being a penny, right? So that means the reward that we receive for keeping the commandments, namely eternal salvation. And we learn from the sacred text 3 basic points. First one, the reward is the same for all. Second one, the reward does not depend on the length of time one has worked. And the third one, one man may do as much work in an hour as another man in a whole day. When we speak about salvation, what we truly need to consider is that above all, is a gift from God that we cannot merit on ourselves. God has entrusted to us the gift of the faith and has given to us by divine revelation, which is the totality of which is found only in the one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. For if any man is saved, it is by Christ, the one mediator between God and man, and through his church, his mystical body on earth. The gift for each one of the laborers in the vineyard is the same, eternal salvation. The householder grants to each of the laborers the same wage, regardless of the hour they began to work. And eternal salvation consists essentially in the vision and the enjoyment of God. This is what we call the beatific vision. Even though we recall the words of Christ, who said that in my Father's house there are many mansions, which means that the souls of the just in heaven will possess this vision in different degrees, in different levels, according to its own capacity, that is to say, the depth of the soul's comprehensions of God's inner life and perfections and the capacity for union with Him, that will depend on the measure that God grants to the soul that special gift, the light of glory. So, the words of St. John of the Cross apply. In the evening of this life, we will be judged by the same way we loved.
That means we go to heaven, the gift for each one of us. In heaven, there will be different levels, according to, as we say here, according to that reward, the light of glory, that God will give us in different degrees, different levels, that measure of that divine life that God will has grown in the soul at the moment of death. And then let's go to the second lesson, that is that the reward does not depend on the length of time one has worked. And this is not to discourage all of those who have entered into the church in a later time. This says that for us, while reading this parable, we see that how many times many baptized Catholics who have been in the church since they were infants are indifferent in the faith. And many people who enter into the church at an older age are much more zealous and serious about the commitment to the faith and also the pursuit of holiness. So the time for our salvation is now. And we do not need to procrastinate our call to holiness every day. Thus we have to pray for the grace of final perseverance, and to earnestly put our effort in the salvation of our souls. And the third and last lesson is that one may do as much work in an hour as another man in a whole day. Let us remember that we have received many times more than we, in strict justice, was our due. Remember the countless favors, both temporal and spiritual, that we have already received from the hands of God. We should be ashamed of complaining that others have received even more. Let us be aware of envying them those things which God in His great mercy has freely bestowed on others. That's something else that prevents us. It's today's parable. So let us pray today to the Master of the Vineyard that we may receive the penny of eternal life given to all those who work in His service. That's the grace that we ask for today's gospel, today's parable that we are meditating upon. May God bless you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.